This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun.
On a Monday.
And it's a Medal of Honor Monday. That's coming up about an hour from now. Things got a little spicy in New York City today as, well, Republicans showed up for a crime hearing on New York. Eric Adams is mad about it, but the bigger story is Democrats are a bunch of sociopaths who will basically mock victims of crime. We'll get to that. We're going to get to that here in probably just a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I'm not far away. There's great news out there. I know you think everything's terrible. Oh, no, we're going to lose the presidential election. And we just might. But there are great things happening in this country. Just hang with me on that. Treasury Secretary with an ugly position. Rear Admiral Buttigieg can't stop, well, being an idiot. That's who he is. No more Walmart in Chicago. Great emails. Somebody's getting sober out there. It's a great time. It's a great Monday here on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to any of that, let's have an uncomfortable conversation. What do you feel about public executions? You ever thought about that? How do you feel about them? Now, you're probably recoiling in horror right now, or cringing at least a little bit. Because as Americans who live in the year 2023, that's not something we do. It's not something we've really done in your lifetime or my lifetime. So, it seems kind of medieval and barbarian, doesn't it? Ew, too much. But let's keep this in mind when it comes to crime and punishment. Publicly executing people is really the norm for all of human history. It wasn't just Jesus. It was the norm for human history. In fact, in many societies, wrap your mind around this, they would torture you publicly before they killed you. Now, I'm not trying to get too gritty here, but let's have a real talk about this. Believe me, I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang with me. If you were an Assyrian king, Assyria was this ancient, really brutal empire. You were an Assyrian king, and one of your cities, a city, rebelled against you. Assyrian kings would skin you alive in front of everybody, and then sell your daughter off to slavery in front of everybody. And then when they were done skinning you alive, just imagine what that sounded like. Forget what it looked like, sounded like. And I want you to keep in mind, everyone showed up. Men, women, kids. I mean, I took the family to Mario after the show on Friday. That's what it would be like for an ancient torture and execution session. Hey, honey, great news. Grab the kids. Get a picnic basket. We're skinning someone alive at noon. That's real. That's how human history worked. And after they did that, they would oftentimes hang his skin from the city walls. Now, why? That's a little gruesome, isn't it? A little gross. Certainly probably smelled a little bad there for a while. Definitely don't want to decorate like that too much. So why do this? And look, even in America, public hangings. Public hangings were not something that was a low-key event. If your town was having a hanging, you showed up. And you brought the kids. Churches would go attend public hangings as a congregation after church. Oh, I love you, Lord. Love you. All right, guys, we're stringing them up in an hour. Let's wrap it up here. Why, though? Well, human beings, you, me, everybody, we need hard lessons. And the hard lessons are the best lessons. They are. It's how the human mind works. I wish it didn't work that way, but it does. And the truth is, doing something publicly, even when it doesn't have to be done publicly, oftentimes is necessary, and all of human history understood that. Why? Because it dissuades other human beings from doing the same thing. Now, what that would take would be a commitment to victory. And we have an opportunity, have had an opportunity recently with the culture war stuff. I'm going to get to all the New York City stuff here in just a moment with what the GOP did there today and the testimony and everything. But you remember last week, the Bud Light controversy. They put some tranny on a can of Bud Light. Everybody freaked out. Well, what happened was this thing got legs and this thing got teeth, and non-political people were all of a sudden participating. I'm done. I'm not drinking it. And it was working and is working. Don't stop, by the way. Anheuser-Busch remained, they went radio silent for a week. These major brands never go radio silent. They flat out shut down social media for a week. And finally, they came out and the CEO puts out some statement that wasn't an apology, but it was more of a, hey, we don't like to divide. We love America, and our troops, and the first responders. Support our troops. It was kind of a, hey, love us again. It was very clearly a, it's been a rough week letter. That's what it was. It was a, it's been a rough. And then they put out some ad, total apple pie and baseball ad. Americana, baby. Look at the Clydesdales. Very much trying to get back in your good graces. A company that big doing things like that is a frightened company. That is a company that is on its heels and afraid, losing significant market share. They're getting phone call, email after email from distributors, and they're still getting these, especially across the South. Hey, cancel my order. Nope, I don't need to order anymore. Because how this works is if you're a distributor in the South, this is very rough, but this is how it works. Hey, I need 1,000 cases of Bud Light. I need 1,000 cases of Bud Light. So you get your Bud Light in, and then you are used to fairly regular orders. You might even have it on automatic renew. Hey, we sell 1,000 cases of Bud Light in a week, so send me another one next week. Well, now you're getting these distributors saying, hey, cancel my next one, and the one after that, the 1,000 you sent me, it hasn't sold. That starts to add up. And those numbers are reviewed by headquarters. And all of a sudden, we have a major corporation who took the tranny stuff too far, and they're scared to death, and they're backing off. And we're in the process of getting a cultural win. And why is this a critical cultural win? It's not critical because Anheuser-Busch is the spawn of Satan. It's true, there are 1,000 other American companies that are worse. It's critical because we have to flay somebody and hang their skin from the city walls so the next city doesn't think about rebelling. It's not about the city itself. It's about the next city and the city after that and the city after that. That's why we're going to gather after church and we're going to have a good old-fashioned hanging. It's not about that guy who got caught stealing horses. It's about the next guy who thinks about stealing horses. That's why we're gathering for a good old stringing up. It's important that we bring Bud Light to its knees. It's important that Anheuser-Busch is made to be an example. Why? Not because of Anheuser-Busch. Forget about Anheuser-Busch. It's important that the next company who gathers around a boardroom and they're discussing their new marketing campaign, and the crazy communist liberal white woman they brought in brings up, hey, you know what? I love these Nutter Butters. These are delicious. You know what would be really great? If we took some dude pretended to be a woman and put it on the Nutter Butters. And I don't know anything about Nutter Butter, by the way. Don't think this is an indictment on them. But it's important that that liberal white woman be publicly scolded in her corporate board meeting, if not fired for even suggesting such a thing. You know why? Do you know the words we want echoing in boardrooms across the United States of America? Not today, but tomorrow and next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. It is critically important that boardrooms across America say, we can't do that Remember what happened to Bud Light? Remember what happened to Bud Light? We can't do that. Remember what happened to Bud Light? It's time to flay somebody alive. And we had them laid down on the table. We have them laid down on the table. They're tied down. We got the knives in our hands. And guess what happened? What happened was the same thing that has happened over and over and over again. If you would like to know a bright, shining example why our culture has only shifted towards Sodom and Gomorrah for about 60 years, I'm going to give you the example, and then we'll discuss this New York stuff next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Nice little song about the NSA there, Chris. Much appreciated there. And yeah, we're going to get to this New York City testimony here in just a second. But we had Anheuser-Busch on their heels. We had them on their knees. And the low-T GOP deletes a pitch against them. The NRCC, National Republican Congressional Committee. They immediately jumped on board the backlash and said, yeah, screw Anheuser-Busch. And then they dug into it and found out Anheuser-Busch employees had actually donated something like $500,000 to the GOP. And in the face of getting an actual cultural win, the GOP instead looked at its campaign donations and backed off. Pathetic. This is why I'm not a Republican. This is why I am an anti-communist, because we cannot win like this. Do you think in a million years, if the Democrats in this country had a company on the ropes, what are all these companies they hate, Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A or any one of these Christian companies, do you think if they had them on the ropes, on their knees, begging for mercy, would a single Democrat in the United States of America step up and say, okay, guys, it's too far. Back off. Back off. Not in a million years. And I'll tell you, and I know this is probably going to be offensive, but I believe it, so I'll say it anyway. This is why I have had several times where I have just thought to myself, man, I wish I could be a communist. Now, they're evil anti-humans, and I'll never be able to do that. But at least they want to win. At least they play to win. You've got your enemy on his back, and you have an opportunity to finish him off. And standard GOP reaches out a hand and helps him up so he can spit in your face again tomorrow. Pathetic. All right. Well, the GOP is at least doing something kind of decent today, I guess. You see, they're taking a road show to New York City. Why? What are all these congressmen doing in New York City? Well, this is a big up yours to New York DA Alvin Bragg for arresting Trump. They're going there to, quote, highlight all of the violent crime in New York that Alvin Bragg is not prosecuting. Eric Adams is not pleased about
it. It's really troubling that Americans' taxpayers' dollars are being used to come here on this junket to do an examination of the safest big city in America instead of focusing on the real over-proliferation of guns that we have witnessed. As Congressman Nadler has stated, it's the Republican Party that is stopping sensible gun laws. It's the Republican Party that is preventing the proper support and ensuring that police agencies across this country is receiving the necessary support that they deserve.
Now, hold on, before you start screaming at the radio and punching things, Eric Adams knows that's a lie. He knows it's not about the guns. Don't start doing the lame standard conservatism thing. But the statistics say it's the gun laws are highest in New York. They know all that. Remember, these are all communists. None of them believe anything they're saying at all. The whole goal of all this is just to disarm you so they can harm you. They know that they have violent criminals they need locked up. I have this headline. Where is this headline? I think I lost the stupid thing. But it was something. Oh, yeah. A tiny number. This is from the New York Times. A tiny number of shoplifters commit thousands of New York City thefts. Thousands. only 327 people committed the thousands of thefts. They are well aware that they just need to find those 327 people. They know who they are. That's the craziest part. Lock them up, throw away the key, and this stuff goes away. They know all that. They know everything you're screaming at the radio right now. But because they're all communists, or they work for the communists, so they have no choice, they have to get up and do the thing that Eric Adams did today and try to blame guns. Don't bother screaming at them or screaming at the radio. All this is done. This is just the way things are now. Now, here's how some of this went today.
Your experiences are devastating. But the problem is that this is a charade to cover up for an abuse of power.
I should note, this is Representative Goldman, because they brought in a bunch of witnesses who were victims and families were victims of violent crime in New York City. And this woman, well, here it is.
Your experiences are devastating. But the problem is that this is a charade to cover up for an abuse of power, that they are going around talking incessantly outside of this hearing about Donald Trump. And the purpose of this hearing is to cover up for what they know to be an inappropriate investigation. Now, I look forward, many of you are
in
New York City.
Can I respond to you, please?
No, not right now, because I only have 20 seconds. I'm sorry. But I do want to
talk. Don't insult my intelligence.
Hang on. The gentleman's time.
I'm not insulting my intelligence.
You're trying to insult me like I'm not aware of what's going on here.
Thank you.
Okay?
I'm
fully aware of what's going on here.
Gentlemen, we'll suspend. Gentleman gets another 15 seconds.
Thank you.
That's why I walked away from the presentation of the Democratic Party.
I love this woman. I love this. The best part of that was you have an angry woman there, understandably angry woman there, and they tried to step in and try to cite congressional rules. I'm sorry, the gentleman still has 20 seconds left. She wasn't interested in those rules at all. You talk about quoting laws to men with swords. They're going to this woman. Well, ma'am, if you actually read the rule, paragraph 8, section B, it shows here that you should be quiet. And she's, oh, that's why I left the Democrat plantation. All right. Now, that's enough of that. We are going to play the bodega clerk and what he went through, being charged with murder for defending himself. We'll dig into why all this stuff happens and a lot more to come. Remember, Medal of Honor Monday. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. We're like a half hour away from Medal of Honor Monday. And don't worry, I have a whole lot of stuff I want to say about Representative Katie Porter.
There have been some reports that alleging that you created a toxic workplace for staff. And I want to give you a chance to respond.
Yeah. Look, I am incredibly proud of my staff. The book is actually dedicated to my staff and my volunteers. And I say this in the book.
I love that. The word is out that you treat your people like crap. I dedicated a book to them. You know why, Katie Porker? You know why you dedicated a book to your staff? Because you weren't smart enough to do what I did and dedicate your book to who really matters. Me. By the way, you can purchase the Anti-Communist Manifesto at jessekellybook.com, Chris. All right, back to this. So this hearing today, a lot of people forget about this bodega clerk who was attacked, defended himself. This is a little long. It's longer than I normally play. I'm actually going to let this play, though, because we do talk a lot about crime in the cities and violent crime and assaults and all that. We talk a lot about these things. But the voices of the people who actually have to live with these policies, who have to live with the communist prosecutors, they don't get heard from much. So I think the man deserves his say.
I took pride in the hard work I put in every day at the store to earn my own money and support myself and my family. That is when I encountered a true and real threat to my life. After I simply told a woman that she could not have potato chips because her payment was declined. I was face to face with her boyfriend, who seemed ready to kill me. He attacked me violently, threw me around the store. The woman stabbed me herself. I truly believe they were there to...
They seem like a close couple.
...kill me. So faced with this...
I've never stabbed anybody with my wife. Huh, we're falling behind.
I did what I knew I had to do to save my life. What the law allows me to do to save my life. I stabbed that man in self-defense. But when the police came, even though I was injured myself, I was placed under arrest. I was taken to jail.
Just pausing on that. Sorry, I'm going to let him finish. He's got another minute, but I want to remind you of the retirements from the NYPD. And this goes way beyond New York City. This is every big city in the country. But NYPD is where I have the most friends. And friends who are retiring and moving to the burbs, moving to Florida, going to be cops, other places. A lot of them are done being cops, period. They're just washing their hands of the whole thing. Remember, the NYPD is the most admired, has been the most admired police force in the entire world. Wrap your mind around that. In the entire planet. The NYPD would train other nations on things. That's how elite the NYPD has been. But they have lost so many of the quality people because they don't want to suffer under Alvin Bragg and Eric Adams and this cop hatred stuff anymore, that they're leaving, and now the NYPD is filling up their ranks with a much different kind of cop.
When I came before the judge, the prosecutor said I was being charged with murder in the second degree. They asked for bail, even though so many people are being let go these days, and I couldn't afford it. So I went to Rikers Island. I was forced into a crowded and unsafe intake cell. Even though I was injured, in jail I didn't get the medical treatment I should have received. I spent almost a week in Rikers Island before bail was lowered and I could be released. I was forced to endure the harsh conditions on Rikers Island as an innocent man. I still don't know why I was charged with murder. I believe that law enforcement and the DA's office didn't investigate the case fully. They rushed to judgment, and I suffered because of it. Even though the charges were ultimately dropped, they should not have been brought against me to begin with. I am now traumatized from the incident. I am not working because I am terrified for my life that someone in a gang will come after me for revenge. My story is one that should not happen again.
But it is happening again and again and again. And I'll just say this to wrap this up, because I want to move on to other things. I actually have a really wonderful email here, and just there's lots of great news tonight. We still have Medal of Honor Monday. I don't want to spend all day on this. I just want to say these are real people suffering, and it just disheartens me that we live in a nation where a foreign-born rich guy is allowed to not only do these things but brag about doing these things. He brags about it and publicly declares his intention to continue doing them. How ridiculous that the United States of America would allow something like this to happen. And let me just remind you, you need to not only buy a hero gun or a hero arrow, you need to open your eyes and be aware of your surroundings, and please keep it on you at all times. My wife doesn't want to carry a gun, or Jesse, my daughter won't carry a gun. Fine, it's a non-lethal gun. No one's going to die. Shoots pepper balls 100 miles per hour. When they hit, it hurts, and then they explode, and then you really hurt. Or the Hero Arrow shoots pepper gel, and it's real small, real nice for the ladies. You can carry it with anything, but carry it on you. Carry it on you, man, because these guys are not going to stop. These prosecutors are not going to stop turning violent criminals loose. Go to hero2020.com, code Jesse, gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. And back to what we brought up a little bit before. It's an uncomfortable thing to say, because we want to imagine redemption and forgiveness, and these are good things, right? I'm not saying these are bad things. These are good things. But the cops know who the bad guys are. They do. Even in some terrible neighborhood, they know who the select few bad guys are in the neighborhood. And the cops will tell you, a good cop, by the way, there's plenty of bad ones out there now, but good cops will tell you, man, that guy needs to be locked up. I know it's only car theft now and some shoplifting. I see the way this is going. You better lock this guy up. Sooner or later, a year or two down the road, it's murder. It's rape. It's something horrible. But those are the specific people New York is letting out. This is bad. Keep something on you. Protect yourself. All right, let's get to a good email. Hey, Jesse. Thanks to your wise words, along with others close to me, I have been sober for 2 weeks now. How about that, brother? Congratulations. I've been struggling with this for years, but it was enlightening realizing how good life feels without drinking. I've already lost 5 pounds as I have replaced drinking with high-intensity workouts and better diet. Feeling healthier mentally and physically is definitely an incentive to keep away. My question for you. My company pays for gym memberships, including combat training gyms. What would you suggest to get physically fit and learn to protect myself in hand-to-hand? I was thinking a boxing gym, but maybe you have better ideas since you have military training. Thanks. I hope you can give me a Fetterman soundbite effect. Says not to say his name. You have earned a Fetterman sound effect. Now, for those of you interested in combat training, keep in mind, I am not some super stud, okay? But I do know a little bit about a little bit. Most of the, quote, martial arts out there are pathetic and embarrassing and useless, and they will not help you at all in a fight. You know what UFC is? Cage fighting, MMA. You know what UFC is. They're not going to insult your intelligence. My buddy Braxton McCoy says this, and so I'm going to steal his line and act like it was mine. If your form of training, martial arts training, is not represented in the UFC, then your form of training is useless. And most of those are useless. Well, here's a wrist lock. Yeah, go ahead and try to wrist lock somebody who wants to hurt you. He's going to destroy you. Right? So most of that stuff's useless. But boxing, excellent. All those guys train in boxing. Kickboxing, excellent. Muay Thai kickboxing, super excellent. That's really awesome. So boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai. Jiu-jitsu, all those guys train in jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu, anything like that, ground fighting. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is a blast. It takes a long time to get good at it, but you'll get in super shape doing all these things. All these things, you get in great shape, and you'll be a whole lot tougher. Judo's really, really good. Any form of grappling, all right, ground fighting of some kind, and that can be, look, maybe wrestling. Look, the best martial art out there is wrestling. You find some wrestler, you find some dude with cauliflower ear, you just buy him a beer and you be real polite to that guy, okay? Because he'll twist you in a pretzel and pound you into the ground. But any kind of grappling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, these are the things that actually work. Again, if it's not represented in the UFC, I do taekwondo. Okay, I'm sure that's good for exercise. That's going to get you bludgeoned to death. All right? All right. Now, we have to have a talk about something that I was really hoping we'd never talk about, but the United Nations and a prediction of mine. Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Again, I want to give a shout out to that guy who wrote in, emailed in about quitting drinking. Look, we all have struggles, all right? I've had plenty of times in my life where I've been drinking way too much, screwing up my life and stuff like that. Remember this, if you're struggling with anything, there's no shame in getting help. Fellas, I'm mainly talking to you. You ladies I know are normally not too prideful. You'll go get help. Fellas, though, on the other hand, I can do this. I can get yourself some help. If you're depressed, addicted to drugs, addicted to booze, addicted to whatever. Ain't nobody's life perfect. Everyone struggles. Remember, though, if you're struggling, you're winning. It's when you stop struggling, that's when you're lost. Just keep struggling. You screw up today, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and try again tomorrow. All right? All right, that's enough of that. I'm sorry. I have to play this one more time. I can't stop laughing. It's not Representative Goldman, and it's not the witness lady who's mad. It's the rule keeper who's trying to step in and talk over her, and she has no interest, no incentive whatsoever to do what he's saying. She's going to speak her mind.
Your experiences are devastating, but the problem is that this is a charade to cover up for an abuse of power that they are going around talking incessantly outside of this hearing about Donald Trump. And the purpose of this hearing is to cover up for what they know to be an inappropriate investigation. Now, I look forward, many of you are
can I
in New York
to
City.
You, please?
No, not right now, because I only have 20 seconds. I'm sorry. But I do
don't
want to
don't insult
talk
my intelligence. That you're not.
Hang on. The gentleman's time.
I'm not insulting
you. You're trying to insult me like I'm not aware of what's going on.
Thank you.
Okay? I'm fully aware of what's going on here.
I just missed it. Did you hear that when he thanked her? Oh, I'm going to have to play it again because I can't rewind this stupid thing. Just right there when she's going off, he's like, thank you.
Gentlemen, we'll suspend. Okay. Gentlemen, gets another 15 seconds.
Thank you.
That's why I walked away from the plantation of the Democratic Party.
Oh, it's so good. All right, quit. We have to talk about something icky. Talk about something icky before we talk about something wonderful. Oh, we're almost to Medal of Honor Monday. That's very soon. It's, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. I don't do time. But I remember, you remember every now and then I will make a prediction. Sometimes the predictions are good, contrary to whatever Jewish producer Chris says. I do make good predictions. Yes, I do, Chris. Sometimes, though, I will admit oftentimes the predictions can be a little dark. But Chris, how accurate has the Oracle been with his dark predictions, Chris? Chris is lamenting that I once again made an extremely dark prediction. In case you're wondering what that prediction was, this was me, 3 years ago? Oh, should be noted before I play this, when I made this prediction, the left, not so much the right, but the left freaked out. We had some of the most hate mail we've ever gotten. You're crazy. You're insane. This is nuts. This is never going to happen. This one really touched a nerve with them 3 years ago. I wonder why. Mark my words. As sick as this is, within 10 years, pedophilia and bestiality will have moved into the mainstream in this country. They will be things that are openly promoted on the news. And you can vomit in the trash can and say I'm wrong. You know I'm right. It is a fact. That's the way it goes. I mean, look at how it started, right? You remember how it started? Well, just gay marriage, just equality. Now we have kids who go around schools barking like dogs, and the teachers set out dog bowls so they can eat like dogs in the schools. We have 12-year-olds mutilating themselves. It gets worse from here. Jesse, you're so crazy. Quit being over the top. Just doing that for radio. Headline. UN, that would be United Nations, UN report calls for decriminalization of all sexual activity, including between adults and children. There are several things I don't understand about this world, and I admit that. I don't claim to be a wise man. So I know there's a lot that I don't get. And I get a little, but there's a lot that I don't get. But this human desire to abuse and sexualize children is just the most disgusting, despicable thing I've ever heard of in my life. And what baffles me is how common this is. How common this is. We don't even have to talk about the pedo we have sitting in the White House who can't seem to find a child he doesn't want to grope and sniff. I'm not even talking about him or the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world. Remember, by the way, when Bill Gates' wife divorced him because of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein? Anyway, I'm not saying anything about that specifically, but why is this such a thing? It's so, and I'm a horrible person. Remember, I have horrible things that I've done in my life, but that's so disgusting to me. I don't understand it. But as we've talked about before, evil doesn't have a bottom. That's part of the failure of the right, is thinking over and over and over again that the other guys are just bad, that they're bad. Oh, the Democrats are bad. Oh, they're just bad. Oh, if I could just have a conversation with them. They're just misguided. Just naive. They're just bad. If you think they're bad, you think there will be an end to the depravity. Because surely bad can't go on forever. Eventually you're going to wake up, look in the mirror and say, okay, it's too much. But evil never has that look in the mirror. Evil is trying to push things down deeper and deeper and deeper into this dark hole. So I can't believe I'm saying this, and I can't believe that this is a reality for you and me, but it is, and we're just going to have to suck it up and march forward and learn how to deal with it. The reality is, as we move forward in this broken world of ours, we are going to have to protect children more and more as the wolves come for them. Because they are coming for kids. Coming for yours, coming for mine. They want them all. And we're not dealing with bad. We're dealing with evil. And until we suck it up, wake up, and acknowledge that, we will never be able to overcome. All right? Protect the kids. Protect the kids at any cost. Let's get to an email. A wonderful email. That's enough icky. Get rid of that. Ugh. Dear all-seeing part-time pink flower. It's not nice. I am now engaged to the soon-to-be mother of a beautiful life we created together. I love that. Put a ring on her finger, my man. She is a moderate, slightly left-leaning dime. While she knows full well how anti-communist I am, today was the most special day. Today, she and I listened to that heartbeat beating inside of her. We cried the most pure tears of joy and are so excited to bring a new anti-communist into this world. The things that preborn does is absolutely heavenly. And it says, I can say his name. His name is Brad. Brad, congratulations to you and your bride-to-be and that little one who's going to have a set of wonderful parents. And look, I will always believe it's from God. But when a woman hears that heartbeat, I remember the first time I heard the heartbeats of my sons. There's just something magical about it, man. And it's wonderful. And I love that that's what preborn does. That's how they save lives. They give out free ultrasounds. Young lady looking for an abortion, preborn's just there saying, hey, come on in. Listen to a heartbeat first. $28. That's what they asked from you. That's what it cost them to give the ultrasound. Think we can do that tonight? Preborn.com/Jesse. $28. We'll be back for Medal of Honor Monday.
This is an iHeart podcast.